Let's take our Bibles tonight, and I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin reading with verse 35 going through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 5. Have you ever had somebody say, "Don't bother him. He's too busy. Don't bother her. What are you doing bothering them?" Or sometimes there are people who maybe try to take a privilege that is not theirs with a government official or someone like that. Don't bother them. And I want to ask the question tonight in beginning this message, why trouble or why bother Jesus? Why bother Jesus? And look at what we're saying here, beginning with verse 35. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." We know the story of Jairus and his daughter. But he said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" She's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. "Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And that's a normal thing when someone passes away. And when he had come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." "Little maid, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with the great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. I love that story. I hope you do too. And you see what God is doing in that story. Now here was the question that was asked in verse 35. Why troublest thou the master? Why are you troubling Jesus any further? Your daughter is dead. What was the thinking behind that question? One word comes to my mind is the word impossible. It's impossible. Why are you going to bother Jesus? She's dead. It's impossible. She can't be raised from the dead. She's gone. She's out of here. She is dead. And we cannot believe that you would raise the dead. The master is not going to do such a thing. We know that the thinking behind it was the thinking of others. Others that would agree with him. As they said, "We know. I don't know why that guy's doing what he's doing. He ought to just go on, admit his daughter's dead, just leave, get out of here." All of us agree, along with the man who spoke to him, to Jairus, along with him, "Just leave, just go on and get out of here." The others were thinking the very same thing. It's just too hard for Jesus. Sometimes we as a community of church believers sort of join our hands together and our minds together and say, "No, that's just too hard for Jesus." And we let others influence our thinking about that. They were concerned about it and worried about it and thinking it was an impossible thing. That's the kind of thinking behind that kind of statement that is contrary to biblical thinking, what God really wants us to think. Why bother Jesus? It's an impossible situation. Now, what's the problem with that kind of thinking? That's the wrong kind of thinking. What is the problem with that kind of thinking? Well, here's the truth of the matter. Jesus is troubled when we don't trouble him. He's more upset when we don't come to him and don't trouble him. Jesus is troubled when we do not trouble him. He wants others to come to him. He wants us to bother him, if you please. He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to come into his presence. He wants us to pray to him and come to him and lean on him and know that he is there for us. John 5:40. Ye will not come unto me that you may have life. He said, the problem's not me. You're not going to bother me. Hey, if you're here tonight without Christ, you're not saved. Jesus wants you to come to him tonight. Nothing would make heaven happier than for you to come to this altar tonight and say, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell, I need to be born again, I need to be saved. And I want to ask you right up front here in this message, are you listening? If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
All right? I want to tell you this, that unless you come to Christ and get saved, you'll die and go to hell.
Right.
I mean, it's just that plain. And as I said this morning, there are two kinds of people that believe in hell. Those who are there and those who believe this book. And you say, well, I'm not going to go for that. I'm not going to listen to that mess. I've got my own opinion, my own ideas. That's silly stuff. No, my friend, that's Bible stuff. And if you die without Christ, you will die and burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never get out of there. And you say, well, I'm not worried about it. I got plenty of time, plenty of life to live. Who says? You may die tonight. You say that's a scare tactic. I don't care what you call it. Call it any name, put any label you want to on it. I'm telling you, you could die tonight. And if you've never been born again the Bible way, by admitting you're a sinner, believing Jesus died for you, and coming to him like a little child and trusting him as your Savior, you will not be saved. And you're not saved. You haven't been saved. You say, well, I joined the church when I was 4, 5, 6, 7. No, that's not salvation. You say, well, I've been baptized 4 or 5 different ways. I've been sprinkled on and poured and baptized 3 times backward and 3 times forward, a couple of times sideways. Every tadpole in every hole around here knows my serial number. I've been baptized over and over and over again. Oh, but that doesn't get you saved. You say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good woman. And I try to live right and I try to do the right things and I'm good to other people. Why? I help old Joe down there change his tire on the side of the interstate. And I'm willing to take gas and help people run out of gas. And I'm willing to help my neighbor. And I'm willing to take care of them whenever they have problems and so on. And everybody likes me. I'm a good old Joe. Being a good old Joe is not going to get you to heaven, friend. Or a good old Jill either. You've got to be born again. You've got to come to Christ. You must be saved. You must be born again. No matter how bad you are or how good you are, you've got to be born again. And Jesus said, I want you to come bother me about that. When I got saved as a 9-year-old boy on a Sunday night in a little country church, Jesus was not the least bit disappointed that I walked that aisle and accepted him as my Savior. I think he was rather glad. Knowing me, he probably was surprised. No, not really. But at any rate, you ought to bless the sorrow that brings you to Jesus. You ought to thank God for the sorrow. Bless the sorrow that brings you to Christ. Here's a sorrow. Here's a heartbreak. Here's a little girl that died, 12 years of age. It hurts. It's bad. It's terrible. She died. But that's what brought him and them to Jesus. Bless the day that your troubles bring you to Jesus. And if you won't come on your own and you won't make up your own mind about it, he may give you some trouble to bring you to your senses so that you will want to come to Jesus. And you'll realize, I think it's so tragic that God has to use tragedy to get people saved and get people right with God. Sometimes people just will not get right with God. And God has to let tragedy and heartache come into their life until they straighten up and get right with God. And the same is true with some people who refuse and rebel and say no, and they're proud and they won't listen, and they think they have all the answers about salvation, and they don't need the church, and they don't need this Jesus stuff. Sometimes God allows tragedy to come into their lives. Believe you me, in 44 years, I've preached a lot of funerals, and I've counseled a lot of people who, after tragedy, came to Jesus. It was a sad time. Many times it just happens. Bless the sorrow that brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus encouraged people to trouble him. What do you mean? He says, "Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come to me. I'm the water of life, and I'll give you the water that will spring up like a well in your heart from now on. Come to me." He's wanting you to come. If you're thirsty tonight, he's the one to quench that thirst. And it'll be something that he takes care of. For he told the woman at the well, "You drink of this water. If you just knew who I was, if you just drink of this living water, just drink of this living water." He wanted her to drink the water. Jesus wants us, those that thirst, come. Everyone that thirsts, everyone that's hungry, all of that, come. Are you hungry? Come to Christ. He says, "Hey, you hungry? I'm the bread of life. The bread of life. I love bread. How about you? I'd like to have a nice loaf of fresh bread tonight, cooked like they do over in France, and put butter all over it kneaded. The bread of life. I can't do that because I'm trying to lose some weight, but at any rate, if it wasn't for that, I'd sure do it. Jesus is the bread of life, amen? He says, "Hey, you're hungry," and that's what the world needs. Some of them don't understand. That's what they're hungry for. They're looking for, searching. What's the answer? What fills this vacuum? Who am I? Why am I here? Why was I created? Where am I going? What is my purpose in life? And they really want to know the truth. Some of them are hungry. You and I need to deliver the bread, amen? Take the bread to them. They're hungry. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus said many a time, "Ask. Ask me. Come, bother me, ask me. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And many times he invites us to come and pray and get before the throne and come to him with our petitions. He's not bothered with time. He's not bothered with your petition. The only persons that are bothered with time is you and me. God's never too busy to listen to us. I'm amazed that he can listen to, if he wants to, a million Christians praying at one time. You say, "How does God do that?" Don't worry about it. He can do it. We don't have to worry about it. I try to figure that out, and I say, "I can't figure that out." God hears the prayers of all those who are praying with a right heart, so on and so forth, at one time if he wants to. He says, "Come on, everybody, I want you to pray. I want you to get a hold of the horns of the altar. I want you to get a hold of me. I want you to pray." He's always saying, "Come, trouble me, trouble me." In verse 36, we're reminded, listen to this, you need to hear this, folks. No situation, no challenge is too hard for Jesus. None. What are your challenges tonight? What are they? Is it some backslidden husband, you dear wives here? Don't give up. What's your challenge? Is it some financial need or some other thing in your life, some physical need, whatever it may be? We know that God teaches us to come to him. And verse 36 says, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid." What? Only believe. You see, the problem is not with Jesus. The problem is not bothering him. The problem is with our faith. Come to him. And he said, don't let that bother you. Only believe. Believe who I am. Believe in me. Believe what I can do. Believe that I'm God. Believe that I am your intercessor between you and God the Father in heaven tonight. Believe it with all of your heart. Believe. Be not afraid. Only believe. What a statement Jesus made. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the master. Oh, he says, Just believe. Come to me and just believe. You see, as a Christian, there may be some challenges you have. It may be your marriage. And you're having a difficult time in your marriage. And there are problems in your marriage. Friend, bring it to Jesus. And He can solve those problems in your marriage if you'll cooperate with Him. And there are people in our churches, no doubt here tonight, that are having problems in their marriages. Bring it to Jesus. Bring your marriage problems to Him. He and only He can solve them. You can go to 1,000 counselors, but if you don't bring it to Jesus and do according to His word, you're not going to get the victory. Bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got children that are rebellious. There are a lot of people right here tonight, your children out of church. They quit, or they don't go to church like they should. What are you going to do about it? Bring it to Jesus. Just keep bringing it to Jesus. Don't stop bringing it to Jesus. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You say, I've been praying 10 years, 20 years. Keep praying. Keep bringing them before the throne, before the throne. I can tell you many illustrations of people who for years and years prayed and seemed like nothing would happen and almost seemed like things got worse. And all of a sudden, one day, it all changed. Just keep bringing your family to Jesus. If they're not saved, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring your mate to Jesus. Bring your finances to Jesus. We're living in days where there are financial challenges. I know of people whose job situation is changing, others who have lost their job. I was in a home Saturday, and a lady was telling me about her daughter-in-law who had worked for a company for 20 years who just lost her job, just lost the job. And so we're living in that kind of age today with our financial challenges that we have in our society, but we need to bring our finances to God. Let me tell you, friend, God can handle your finances. You say, well, maybe He ought to give me a job then. Well, maybe He wants to show you He can supply your need without a job for a while. He's God. And I'm not putting you down. Don't misunderstand. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you, God will meet your need if you'll walk with Him and trust Him and bring it to Him. Then nothing is impossible with God. Physical problems, if it's God's will to heal you and it brings the greater glory, God can touch your body and heal you. But if God does not want to and He wants you to bring more glory through your sickness and illness, God will allow that to go on. That's God's plan, just like it was for Paul. But I grant you this, if it be His will, He can touch your body and He can heal you. I've known people who the doctor said, they've got serious problems here. And according to our diagnosis, they're not going to make it. They're going to have real problems. And then I've had those same people come tell me later on, you know, I went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, you know, we don't understand it. We can't find that now. We've run some more tests, and even deeper tests and greater tests and more sophisticated tests. And we don't know. Somebody must have misread the x-rays or whatever earlier. Let me tell you sometimes, folk, honest to God, and most of us, a lot of us perhaps, don't believe this, but God healed them. God can still heal. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A prayer of faith heals the sick. And God can heal if God wants to. Bring your physical challenges to God. If He doesn't heal you for some reason, He chooses not to. And obviously we get to a certain age in our life. The time is going to come where we're going to pass away. If God healed everybody all the time and it was always His will, nobody would ever die and we'd all be older than Methuselah. Amen? But sometimes, folks, you're just going to die. That's just it. You're going to die. It's your time. But there are times that God wants to heal you for His glory. And He can do it. Nothing is too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And we need to trouble God how long? Until relief comes. Just trouble Him. Just talk to Him. And I say that, trouble Him. It's not really troubling Him, but you know what I'm saying. Get His attention. Talk to Him. And come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy thought they were troubling the Master. trouble him until relief comes. Isaiah tells us that Jesus again invites the sinner to come. And he says, come now. Come now. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. And that's what sin is. Ugly, dirty stains of sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. As white as snow. That's about as white as it can be. I can remember wearing sunglasses in Indiana when it snowed. That white snow and the sun glaring off of it and penetrating the eyes and all. God says, I'll make you whiter than snow. I'll wash all of your sins away. Oh, thank God He washes our sins away. We're all sinners. Some have been worse sinners than other sinners, but we're all sinners. And all of our sins, and even our righteousness, is plural, were as filthy rags before Him. He washes them white as snow. Thank God He says, come, come, I'll wash them white as snow. Well, the healing was immediate. And He took the damsel, verse 41, by the hand. Just get a picture of Jesus doing that. Just see Him, the little girl, 12 years old, and our sweet, loving Savior just reaches down, takes a little girl by the hand. And she was, as far as humanity is concerned, dead. But He said to her, Talitha kumai, little maid, arise. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And notice what happened. Is it going to happen? We don't know. Let's wait a while. Let's pray through. Let's just wait and wait and see what happens. Let's go through the catechism a couple of times. No. And straightway, amen, straightway, the damsel arose and walked. Not a partial healing, a complete healing. Raised her from the dead. And she stood up and arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. I reckon they were. I'm sure they were. And the guy that said, leave Jesus alone, he was probably the most astonished. Wow, I should have kept my mouth shut. And the crowd probably said, "Woo, wow, look at that. He literally raised that little 12-year-old girl from the dead. Immediate evidence of life. Not only that, look at this. I love this verse. And He charged them straightly that no man should know it. And here's how we know she was a Baptist from the very beginning. Commanded her that something should be given her to eat. Amen? That's a sign of new life. Commanded her, said, give her something to eat. She's totally alive. She's up. She's hungry. Feed her. That's exactly after we get saved what we need. We need the feeding of the Word of God. We need to stay in church. We need to be with God's people. We need to stay in the Word of God every day. Get fed, get fed, get fed. You'll never be what you ought to be if you're not in the Word of God every day. And God's not going to bless you like He blesses others if you don't pray and stay in the Word and get sin out of your life and live close to God and holiness and obedience and fellowship and truth. God's not going to bless you like He would others. Oh, you'll be saved and go to heaven. There were carnal Christians in the book of Corinth that were saved, but they were carnal. But if you really want God's blessings, eat. Come to church, be in Sunday school, have a devotional life, spend time in the Word of God. Sometimes people wonder, why did God pass me by? Why didn't He bless me like others? And the truth of the matter is sometimes it's because you're not in this book. You're not walking with God. You're not having sweet, sweet fellowship with Him. And that is so vitally, vitally important. Give her to eat. There's a greater day coming. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Don't bother Jesus. No, bother Him. He wants to be troubled. He wants to be bothered. And whatever you need to bother Him about tonight, bring something to this old-fashioned altar up here. He's ready for you. Family, physical, financial, marriage, children, whatever it may be, God's ready for you. Bring it to Jesus. Don't let the devil tell you, no, don't go, leave him alone, don't bother. That's a lie of the devil. That guy was not saying the right thing when he said that. He wasn't saying and speaking in faith. He didn't even realize what Jesus could do. Don't listen to the lie of the devil tonight. You come and let God speak to your heart. And He wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, may God help you to come and be saved. Let's stand, please.